Doors Community Church, where you can wake up to the love of God, grow in Christ, and step out in service. You are listening to our weekly sermon featuring Pastor John Kyler.
Elizabeth. Elizabeth. The angel had appeared to Mary with the news that she would be the mother of the Messiah. How on earth is this going to happen? She said, since, you know, I'm a virgin. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And the one born in you will be called the Son of God. And even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a baby in her old age. And she who was said was unable to conceive is now in her sixth month. Elizabeth. Elizabeth. If it is so, then Mary would go to her. So she quickly packs up her things and she says, head south to a small village just outside of Jerusalem, about 85, 90 miles away. It'll take her about 4 days to get there. Plenty of time to think about what has just occurred and what all that means. And if she does see Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, well, that would be evidence that this is not just a dream, not just a hallucination. I didn't just make this all up. Elizabeth, it's me, Mary. Whoa. With a mournful laugh, the baby inside Elizabeth starts moving around. Miriam, with a glad heart and a warm smile, she embraces Mary and pulls her close. How blessed are you and the child you carry. Yes, what woman are so blessed as you? In fact, none will ever be as blessed as you. And Mary looks at Elizabeth and, well, look at you, and they hug again. Mary, who am I that I should be caught up in all of this with you? Tell me, why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And the joy of the Lord bounced from one to the other and back again. Oh, Elizabeth, said Mary, I feel a song coming on. Right? It was a musical, wasn't it? Listen to it again as it's written for you in the message. Mary sings, I'm bursting with good news. I'm dancing the song of my Savior God. God took one look at me and look what happened. I'm the most fortunate woman on earth. What God has done for me will never be forgotten. The God whose very name is holy, set apart from all others. His mercy flows in wave after wave on those who are in awe before him. He bared his arm and showed his strength. He scattered the proud. He toppled the high and mighty and pulled their victims out of the mud. The starving poor sat down to a banquet. The callous rich are left out in the cold. He embraced his chosen child, Israel. He remembered and piled on the mercies and piled them high. Exactly what he promised, beginning with Abraham, right up until now. Mary's words speak of future realities as if they've already taken place. In a Mary song, you find a song of conspiracy, a launching of an uprising against the darkness of the world. She sings of what God has done for her. He has been mindful of my humble estate. She sings of what God has done for the whole world. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered the proud and filled the hungry. She sings of what God has done for God's people, Israel, remembering to be merciful and keeping his promises of long ago. It's a song that is filled with prophetic language that treats God's future as if it had already taken place. Indeed, it's a song of conspiracy, of Christmas that had begun to change the world. Christmas has always been about a conspiracy of light against darkness, a conspiracy of God against our rebellion and its devastation upon the earth. In just a short time now, we'll reach the December 21st, which is the darkest day or the longest night of the year. And the days that follow, the light begins to lengthen and grow brighter. And for thousands and thousands of years, humanity has been celebrating the receding of the winter darkness. It's a notion that the sun takes its stand against the darkness of the night. And the thought of the ancient person was likely something, if I just get past this moment, when the world is at its darkest, if I haven't died yet of hunger or sickness, or if aging hasn't taken hold of me, then there's a good chance that I might actually make it till springtime. And if I can make it that far, as the weather, the days lengthen and the weather's warm, I'll surely make it to the harvest. In the year AD 274, the emperor declared that December 25th was the festival of the invincible sun, S-U-N. It was a great festival that took place throughout the Roman Empire, and funny thing was that they celebrated kind of the way we do. They had evergreen trees and they exchanged gifts and there was feasting and decorating and lights and they sang songs, and it's kind of interesting because it was a good time to feast, since they would slaughter their cattle so they wouldn't have to feed them through the scarcity of the winter. It also coincided with the completion of the fermentation of the grape harvest and the brewing that took place earlier. So it was a good time for feasting. But it was all about getting through the darkness and hoping that you weren't overcome by it. It wasn't until about 50 years later or so that Christians began to celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th. It made perfect sense for the early church at that point in its life to celebrate the birth of the resurrected Lord in such a context, to redefine Christmas celebration, or the solstice celebration rather, to redefine that in light of the coming of Christ, to inject redemptive meaning into the rituals that surrounded them, that spoke of the deepest cries of our humanity, not to be overwhelmed by the darkness. So in around 337, 340, Pope Julius declared December 25th as the birth of the Nativity, or the Feast of the Nativity. Christmas, from Mary to Pope Julius, has always been about conspiracy against the darkness of the world. But Mary's hope and delight is not in the inevitable change of seasons, but in the God who set the sun and the moon and the stars in their places. Her hope is in the God of creation, the God of Israel, who acted on behalf of his people in the past and who is now working to redefine their future. the hope of Mary, and indeed, the whole world lies in the power of God. He is God Almighty, the Mighty One. And Gabriel had reminded Mary of this when she was skeptical about all that he had said. How can this be? Gabriel said, with God, nothing is impossible. Christmas still changes the world for those who believe in that which the Lord has spoken. In his book, The Case for Christmas, Lee Strobel tells of an assignment he had as a reporter while at the Chicago Tribune. He was assigned a holiday piece to go and talk to those less fortunate in Chicago. And so he was assigned a small family that on the west side of Chicago that had been burned out of their apartment. And so he goes, he tells the story of visiting the Delgados, a 60-year-old woman and her two granddaughters. And he says, as I walked into the apartment, I couldn't believe how bare and empty it was. There's no furniture, no rug, nothing on the walls, only a small table in the kitchen and a handful of rice. No possessions whatsoever except for the two girls, 11-year-old Lydia and 13-year-old Jenny, both owned a short-sleeved dress and then a thin gray sweater that they shared. When they walked to school, one would wear it halfway and then take it off, and the other one would wear it the rest of the way. But despite their poverty and their situation, the grandmother, Perfecta, was confident in her faith in Jesus. She was somehow held on to the belief that he still was there for them and had not abandoned them. And Strobel writes, I never sensed despair or self-pity in her home. Instead, there was always a gentle hope and peace. He goes on to say that after he wrote his article, he moved on to other high-profile assignments, but that this encounter kept haunting him. So in a downtime on Christmas Eve, he decided to pay them a visit. And he was totally unprepared for what he met when he entered their apartment again. When he arrived, what he saw was that the readers of his article had sent them donations. There was furniture and appliances and clothes and bags of food and winter clothing and all kinds of presents wrapped up, and they even donated cash. As wonderful as that was, that wasn't what shocked him the most. At that point, he was an atheist, but it was their response to those gifts. And here I'll quote him at this point. As surprised as I was by this outpouring, I was even more astonished by what my visit was interrupting. Perfecta and her granddaughters were getting ready to give away much of their newfound wealth. When I asked why, Perfecta said, our neighbors are still in need. We cannot have plenty while they have nothing. This is what Jesus would want us to do. This is all wonderful, she said, this gesturing towards all the gifts that had come their way. But we did nothing to deserve this. It's a gift from God. But it's not his greatest gift. No, that we celebrate tomorrow. That is the gift of Jesus. Christmas still changes the world. The coming of God into human history was the beginning of an uprising against the darkness. Christ came into our world and lived fully under the weight of the brokenness. He challenged those who had built a fence around God and called God's people to turn around towards him. He was a friend of sinners, but he also offered himself as a sacrifice to open up the way to God. The coming of Christ into our world is about God himself sharing our pain and our brokenness and the consequences of our rebellion. You know, God could have blasted the whole world into repentance and change. And yet he chose another way. He chose the way of generosity and service. When God wanted to change the world, he did it by giving more. You know, I've been praying for all of us that this Christmas would be, that God would fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him, so that we might overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Mary's Christmas Advent conspiracy song was not filled with figgy pudding and eggnog. I don't think. But rather, it was a hope born in reality because she trusted that God had spoken to her. And that he would fulfill the promises that he had made. It was a hope, no doubt, that would later be refined and challenged by the fires of life. Maybe as she traveled in her pregnancy to Bethlehem. No doubt as she fled to Egypt. Protect her newborn child. And certainly as she stood at the foot of the cross and treasured all that had happened to her in her heart, she most likely come to understood that hope comes at the end of a rather long chain of that results in trusting the God who spoke. As Paul says, that our hope does not disappoint us. And let me read it for you here out of Romans 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace which we now stand. And we boast in hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Mary's hope, no doubt, would have been refined by her suffering, her perseverance, her character. And then a hope that does not disappoint. Elizabeth had turned to Mary and said, "Blessed is she because she has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Paul prays for us that the God of hope would fill us with joy and peace as we trust in him. That trust will no doubt lead to suffering, perseverance, and character, which eventually does not disappoint. So that we may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready to join in a song of light against the darkness? Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, whose wisdom is beyond comprehension and whose compassion knows no end, fill us with peace and joy, perseverance and character, bring hope to our lives and through us to your world. Amen. always, our prayer ministers are available in the back corner of the room. If you would like to be prayed for, maybe you need a little more hope this Christmas, they'll be happy to pray for you.